it's all about the homework. What gets people to open and click and respond is that wow factor of someone really sat and understands my website, understands my company. That is the gold.
Hello, this is Josh, and this is the Inside Selling Podcast, a podcast about selling without selling your soul, where I explore how you can sell by being more delightful for not only yourself, but also your prospects through the simple acts of caring and making people feel good and smile. Today, my guest, Shoshi Weinstein from Tel Aviv. She's the business development manager at Bold Digital Architects, a published researcher, and get this, baker of gluten-free treats. Is that right?
True. Shoshi? It's my guilty pleasure. Gluten-free baking, that's for
maybe
sure.
We'll get into that. One of her superpowers, one of her many superpowers, is using cold email to start conversations with prospects, but in a way that doesn't make you come across as needy or desperate. I wanted to learn a lot more about that today. Shoshi, thank you so much for taking the time to chat today.
Thanks so much for having me. Such a pleasure.
So I wanted to start actually by reading a quote from a post that you wrote called My Favorite Paradox. If you guys haven't read that yet, Google My Favorite Paradox, Shoshi Weinstein, it'll come up. And I want to read this quote, and this is what you wrote. Cold outreach always feels like the moment you're in the bar, club, or really crowded social setting where you walk across the room to someone who caught your eye. Good chance they'll be skeptical and be thinking, who are you? Why me among the other potential suitors in the room? What's your motive? What's your deal?
Yeah.
I loved that quote. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I always, you know, as someone who gets cold emails all day long, there's always the sense of, you know, what list did you get me off of? And so there's really just this disconnect and just lack of personalization that I feel so commonly comes with cold emailing that I have no idea, you know, I don't know who you are. I don't know how you found me. There's something like creepy that almost comes with that sense of how did you get my information? And, you know, there's just a lack of that relationship and just trying to build that. It's just going straight for the sell. And I always, you know, it always reminds me of that feeling of being in a bar and something kind of sleazy coming over to you and you're just like, I am not interested. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're selling, but I'm not going there.
Yeah, I have this analogy that I use, like when you're in the mall and those kiosk people say, can I ask you a question or can I put some lotion on your hand? Similar sort of thing, because like, where are you? Like, what do you want? And I think you're making a good point. Most cold emails start with trying to get something from somebody. It's starting from this place of taking. So you're kind of saying, can I have some time from you is almost like walking up to someone and asking, you want to meet my parents in the first 5 seconds? Or when you're on a website and you're reading an article and you've been there for 2 seconds and all of a sudden there's a pop-up that says, give me your email address. You're like, whoa, I'm just trying to get to know you. Is that kind of what you're talking about with these emails? Slow down, buddy.
No, absolutely. I think for cold emailing, there needs to be this relationship that's win-win. It can't just be a purely taking relationship. No one wants to be in that kind of relationship, no matter what kind of relationship it is, whether it's emailing for B2B or it's in a bar, you know, no one's interested in that. So definitely understanding, you know, as you were mentioning, like, what is the buyer's journey or the customer journey? Like, where are they in their decision-making process? Who are they? It's really important to kind of get a tempo and do your research and do your homework in order to understand kind of who you're speaking to and how to approach them best.
Yeah, one of the things that I really liked about your article, which we're going to get into in depth today, is this idea that instead of taking, you're teaching. So it's almost like outreach that is trying to make the prospect smarter about something that they might want to get smarter about. It's almost like a no strings attached value. And I know value is this generic term and it's different for everybody that you're reaching out to. It's not value how you perceive it. It's what's going to be interesting for this particular prospect. And so when most people think about cold email, it's the getting of the, you have 30 minutes. The call to action is, here's what I do. Here's how we might be able to help. Can I talk to you for 60 minutes? It's this pitch. But your approach is a little bit different. And I want to talk to a little bit about a high level about your philosophy of sort of giving first from the perception that I get in reading your article, teaching somebody something with kind of like no strings attached.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely what it is. We're a HubSpot partner agency. So part of that is really getting to know that what HubSpot calls the inbound methodology. So understanding that, you know, in every, and I think I mentioned this in the article, in every sense that you would kind of think about the word selling, if you can replace that word selling with helping, then that really begins to kind of put you in the position of really thinking about, well, who am I here? Who am I speaking to? Who am I helping? And as you said, definitely no strings attached. That's a huge part of my outreach kind of policy for myself, is understanding, you know, if you have 10 minutes to speak, I want to offer you some tips on your website. I took a look at your website. I noticed you're doing X, Y, and Z, or you're not doing X, Y, and Z. Maybe that's something that you're interested in talking about. I have some tips or tricks or ideas that I think will help you kind of moving forward in your marketing, you know, efforts. So that's a big part. You know, this doesn't need to be, you know, we're not in the place where I'm selling to you. I'm purely here to help, to educate, to nurture. If something comes of this later on, that's great. If not, no harm, no foul.
Right. But isn't ultimately, though, can people see through that? I mean, isn't ultimately the reason you're reaching out to sell somebody something? Or is your intent really like, you're just this person that wants to just help somebody do something better? Or is there sort of an ulterior motive behind it? Let's be honest. Let's get real here, Shoji.
Let's get real. No, I think it's really, for me, it's definitely about helping, you know. Also, you have to keep in mind that, at least for my own outreach, this is B2B. So nothing is going, you know, there isn't that kind of turnover rate that you're going to have in B2C where someone's going to hear about something, think it's cool, buy it, done. With B2B, there's just such a longer process in nurturing those prospects in order to get them into even that, you know, meeting room where you're going to have that pitch or show them that deck. So if I have, it definitely happens, I should say, that I will do one of these cold outreaches that's really about helping, and they may say, this is a really cool email, it's not the right time, but maybe this will be something that we want to do in the future, or this is a conversation maybe that I want to have when we get that next round of funding, and that's fine, and that's great. And if when the funding happens, they come back to me, that's incredible. And really, there's only so much, as much as I definitely emphasize that you have to be doing your research, there's only so much that you can know. And it's really kind of putting into the shoes of the other person for them to decide, is this the right time? And if not, were they interested enough in what I had to say that it's worth coming back to me when the time is right for them?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things about your approach, which I want to get into right now, is this idea, if we talk about inbound, everyone knows what it is. It's kind of this thing marketing does when salespeople don't deal with it. But what I felt was unique about your approach is you kind of took the inbound mentality of, I want to teach somebody something, I want to educate them on something that's going to make them smarter in some way, and I'm incorporating that into an outbound, quote unquote, cold email. And yeah, the responses that you get, and I'll just read one, you know, Shoshi, this is the best cold outreach I've ever seen. Well done. Grab time on my calendar. So I want to walk through exactly your process for how you do that. Let's just take a prospect of yours, and if we can get inside your head of how you construct this, how you think about it, what that people talk about value all the time. I never know what the heck that means when I hear it. I'm like, what exactly is that? Like, give me an example. So let's actually walk through like your process and exactly what you're doing. And then hopefully people that are listening can sort of connect the dots to their prospects and their potential thing that they could teach.
Yeah. No. So before I even consider writing any kind of template or decide who I'm going after, which will be, you know, a piece that we're going to go into next, the first step is what we call the prospect fit matrix, which essentially means you understanding as a company, who do you work best with? Who are the types of clients that last the longest for you? Who do you feel that you really build a relationship with? Who can you really help? And so once you can do that, and that maybe that's broken down by how many employees they have, what kind of round of funding they have, are they B2B, are they B2C, what kind of social media, you know, this is for marketing. So, you know, what kind of social media efforts do they have? What kind of blogging efforts? Really understanding all these different, you know, all these different matrix, this matrix that you're going to create, understanding what are the different aspects of the company that you're ideally looking to approach, and then only go after those people. I see way too often, it was amazing, like, I think it was just last week, I got an email from someone, blah, 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 where we have this awesome tool that's great for Marketo integration. And I was like totally befuddled by the whole thing that I actually sent an email back to them being like, hi, so-and-so, thank you so much for your email. I just want to let you know that we're a HubSpot partner agency, not a Marketo partner agency. But you know, best of luck on your efforts. So it really comes from that sense of knowing who are you looking to talk to and really being sure that those are the people you're reaching out to, because it's a total waste of your time and theirs to be going after people who are just not going to be a good fit.
So you're talking about, this is the age-old debate in cold outreach, you know, quality versus quantity. And absolutely. So it sounds like you're taking a more surgical approach. And so at any given one time, are you starting with 30, 40 people that you want to, you know, help at any, to use your words, help at any given time? Are you literally creating a list of 30 or 40 people based on your existing book and who you've helped? Is that the size of your list, so to speak?
Yeah. So that's, I would say that's roughly right. Yeah. You know, if you want to make that prospect hoop matrix, if you want to print that out, keep it on your desk. So if you come across a company or you're researching for companies to reach out to, you know, you're going to be able to kind of check, you know, for every one of those boxes, is this a really good fit? Is this a maybe fit? Is this like a no-go? So that you can understand kind of who are the best people that you could be reaching out to. And that's kind of where you take it to the next level.
Okay. Then are you taking that list of companies and then you are going to like a sales navigator and looking at profiles to figure out who the actual people are?
Yeah, so I'm using Sales Navigator on LinkedIn. I'm going to be using Crunchbase. I'm going to be using Similar Tech, which is a tool we talked about that helps companies, you know, really helps you understand what technology different companies are using. And that really kind of gives me a story and a background and a picture to understand who are these companies that I just made a list of. Are they really who needs my help, as we were talking about, or do they seem pretty set, you know? For myself, I'm looking to help companies that need to be doing more content marketing or need to be doing more inbound. So if they have a blog and they're strong and they're blogging twice a week, you know, they don't need my help. There's no reason for me to be in touch with them. So I can automatically take them off my list.
Got it. Okay, so we have this list. You mentioned Similar Tech. That's a technology people might not be familiar with, but from what I understand, it shows you which types of technology companies are using. Maybe they're using HubSpot, maybe they're using Marketo or Salesforce, and you can use that to be able to better make your outreach more relevant?
Exactly. Yeah, and you can also use it kind of the opposite way. So you can look from understanding from within an industry, I'm going to see every country in the U.S. that's using HubSpot, or you could, there are all these different kind of filters you can use to get a whole list of companies using specific kinds of technology that you want to be tracking in various different, you know, variables.
There's another technology called Siftery, if anyone's out there, that also is another one of these tools that allows you to see what technologies people are using. It's called Siftery. But again, Shoshi, it sounds like you're using this to be able to make the outreach a little bit more relevant. Okay, so we have these companies, we've got these profiles of people, and then you're using a technology to go grab their email addresses, something like a LeadIQ or some similar technology. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so I personally primarily use Hunter as my go-to. But yeah, definitely looking for, when we're talking about, you know, what kinds of people we're looking to approach. So we also have what's called, and this is taken really from inbound, you have buyer personas. So you have different types of people within the organization that you may want to be in touch with. And all of them have different roles and they have different challenges. And your technology may help them in different ways. So that's also a big part of understanding that if I'm going after the CEO, that's great. He has, you know, X set of challenges. This is how my solution may help him. This is ways I can offer value to him in this conversation, in this email. But that may not be the same if you're going to reach out to, let's say, a product manager or a marketing manager. So understanding, you know, not only who the kind of company that you're looking at as a whole, but really specifically to the person you're targeting, making sure it's most relevant to them and personalized to them.
So for any given account, will you pick two or three people, different levels? Is that how you'll do it?
Yeah, so generally I pick one, but there are many companies that I definitely will, if I have the availability of having two different accounts, then I'll be able to really kind of, and I think it's a good lesson and kind of skill to develop is understanding if you have two people in the same company, what are those different, what roles do they play? What are the challenges they have? And that's a kind of a great exercise for definitely, you know, SDRs or BDRs to really begin to understand who these people are, the challenges they face, and how you can offer each one of them a specific kind of value.
You bring up a great point, because if you're a new SDR and you're coming into a job and you're selling to CMOs, you've never been a CMO, probably, coming out of college. And it's a really difficult task, right? Because I'm asked to call people who've been CMOs for 20 years and have never walked in their shoes. Shoshi, any tips on if I'm an SDR or I want to get closer to my prospects, I want to know what it's like to walk in their shoes. How do I do that as an SDR?
How to walk in their shoes. That's a great question. I personally, when I started working at Bold, I came from a psychology background, so, and that really definitely helped me in terms of understanding empathy, understanding challenges, learning how to speak to those challenges. So that was kind of my strength coming into this. But when it came to understanding, you know, CMOs, who are they, what challenges do they face, I walked in, you know, more or less clueless. So I think it definitely, what you're saying, when I started as a BDR early on, it was a lot of reading, definitely kind of understanding what are BDRs reading? What kind of articles are they reading? Really just sitting. And that was kind of the best way for me to get into those minds. Also, if you happen to know someone who is a CMO or is whoever the person you're looking to target, make time to grab coffee with them. I highly recommend, you know, making this personal. There's only so much you can learn for articles, as much as they can be really relevant. It's so great to get the sound bites from an actual individual who is in that role, to understand who they are, where they personally are in their journey, career-wise, and the challenges they face. So definitely a bigger recommendation.
I know this is scary, but step away from the computer. I mean, a couple of things you said. This is also another great tip that helped me a lot when I was selling to HR professionals, was I would ask account managers, hey, can I talk to some customers?
Yeah.
You know, and talk to them about what was going on in your company and getting to know, you know, talk to 3 or 4 people. You'll start to get a sense of the sort of day in the life, and you'll be able to have a little bit more empathy and understanding. Also, something else that I did was I typed in, you know, top priorities of, top challenges of, and you start to see these 3 or 4 themes emerge. Okay, so we've got this list of people. We've identified the different personas, and now we have to create outreach that doesn't sound like the slimy guy in the bar walking up to you, trying to pick you up. So how do we go about doing that?
Yeah, so I mentioned this before and I'll mention it again. It's all about the homework. What gets people to open and click and respond is that wow factor of someone really sat and understands my website, understands my company. That is the gold. So if you can find that from the company's website, from social media, a lot of times I'll be on a website and try to understand what's going on. And then I'll think, you know, maybe let's see what the CEO is doing on Twitter. And I'll find out that he's at a conference. So that's a great opportunity for me to have that opening line of, I hope you're enjoying, you know, whatever the conference may be. And that really gets them to understand that you are not fooling around. You are not sending a mass email to everyone that has the same, you know, maybe there's a personalization token that puts in their first name, but other than that, it's the same thing. So really make sure as much as you possibly can to really kind of stick in as much personalization, as much, you know, education that you can offer them.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we get into this a lot, like this line about the CEO being at a conference. Some people will say, well, that has nothing to do with, you know, what your thing is or what you're doing. Like, that's really not effective. But you would argue that that is effective because it shows that you've just done your homework, and that alone sort of separates you. There was an SDR that was on a couple days ago with Tito Bort. His guy's name was Mikey, and he was prospecting VPs of sales. And he noticed one of these VPs of sales was posting that one of the things I really despise around the holidays is when I get those cake and cookies, it makes me fat. And so what this SDR did is he sent a fruit basket with like a pineapple.
Oh my gosh.
To make him healthy. And the subject of his line was about the pineapple. And then he kind of bleeded into his, you know, value proposition. But it was something that got attention and got a response and I think got a sale. So you kind of, it sounds like you kind of look for these little nuggets. But then you do something a little different. It looks like you actually then have what I'll call some more substance in the email. From what I'm reading, it looks like you actually create videos that, like, walk me through that, because I want to understand, like, give me a prospective customer, what you think you can help them do better, and then how you use video to kind of help them or teach them.
Yeah, so videos are something that we were sitting in a meeting probably back in October 2017, and we kind of had this idea of we want to do something different. You know, there's so many cold emails out there, and even for those who offer those personalization nuggets, you know, we wanted to do something big. We wanted to do something bold. And so we came up with the idea of doing videos. So essentially what that meant is that for every single company that I reached out to, I made them, I used Loom, and then I upload them, the videos to YouTube. That way I can just have better analytics. And what I do is it kind of starts out really simply. Hi, the person who I'm sending the email to. This is how I found you. You know, there's nothing creepier than not giving a reason of as how you found them, because that screams that you got them from a list. So even if I found them on LinkedIn, maybe they're featured in an article by Inc., you know, top startups of 2017, whatever the case may be, definitely want to offer, you know, how I discovered them. That's very important. And then from there, I kind of do it's a screen share. So they can see me in the corner. And what they'll see on the screen is they'll see their actual homepage. So even before they click play, they can see like little Shoshi in the corner and their homepage, which obviously is like the one page on the internet they know, you know, just as well as, you know, the Google homepage. So that's kind of a great reason for them to be clicking, like, what is this girl doing on my website? And so what I do is I've already set up all these tabs that essentially walks them through their own website, which is kind of a cool experience that they get to have kind of an out of the box. You know, they're so ingrained in their website, in their A/B testing and putting content, whatever the case may be, really offering them the chance to see it from an inbound perspective, from, you know, a marketer's perspective. And I'm able to really walk them through, you know, I see that you're not putting calls to actions on your blog. So, you know, are you looking to convert more leads? That's a great way for you to be doing that. I noticed that you're only offering articles about your own company. You know, everything's about you raise this funding, you have that collaboration, you know, where are you offering value to your prospects? So really beginning to get them to think about, you know, how they could be applying inbound better just based off what I'm seeing and what I'm showing them on their website. So these videos take, you know, they're really quick. And it sounds longer when I explain them now, but usually takes, you know, 2-3 minutes. I found just from my experience and just doing all the analytics, you know, no one wants to watch more than 5 minutes. So definitely the shorter the better. And just to get them a real taste that you've done your homework, you've offered them, you know, a couple of tips that's going to help them, and then doing, you know, a sign off, and then the rest of the email will say, you know, is it relevant to have that meeting? Here's my calendar link.
So this is a great example of using outreach to teach rather than to take.
I love that.
And it sounds like you're, and if I understand you correctly, the email, the thumbnail in the email is actually a play button with a thumbnail of their website. That to me is like dangling candy in front of a baby. I mean, how do you not sort of click on that? But then when you click on it, you're sort of doing what it sounds like a virus scan for free, right? So here's some of the things that I've seen.
It's a free consult. That's what it really is.
Yes. So the question for you listeners out there, what types of viruses can you scan for? Or we know that people buy for two reasons, right? They want to move away from something, which is, I think, what Shoshi's talking about. But the other reason is they want to move towards something that maybe is better. They want to take it from a 10 to an 11. They're making 20 million. They want to make 25 million. So bringing up some new idea, they might not necessarily have a problem like what Shoshi's describing, but there may be ways to be able to do things better. And I think generally speaking, people are always open to learning about how to do something better. But for Shoshi, for businesses that don't have, you know, they're not doing website design, they're doing something different. What kind of mindset do you have? How do you start to get into these? How do I figure out what that thing is that I could teach people?
Yeah, so I think that will really obviously depend on the industry and what you do to help. But maybe you need to think more out of the box in terms of, you know, if you can't find on their website that challenge that you're looking for, that you can solve for, where else can you find that information? So really kind of understanding where are these prospects going to look for help. That's a big part of it. So kind of joining maybe those Facebook groups, those LinkedIn groups, where those companies are hanging out, where those CEOs, CMOs are hanging out, to understand, you know, what challenges they're writing about. They're, you know, literally writing out, you know, I'm having a challenge with this. Maybe that's kind of, you know, for you, your next move for understanding, you know, I saw that you posted in this Facebook group, you were looking for help with X. I had some ideas for you to do that better. So just really using the resources that you have in order to best understand their challenges and what you can offer for help that doesn't include selling.
Love this. And I don't know if you have any statistics on this, and I'm not big into statistics because I think 78% of all the statistics I read, there's not really substance behind it. So we'll take it with a grain of salt, but how's the response rate on these? Are you tracking things like responses? Talk to us a little bit about when you take the time to really identify who these people are and you're being thoughtful and you're creating these videos, you'll send out 20, 30 of them. You'll have how many conversations will come out of that roughly?
Yeah, so I have about a little bit over a 10% response rate right now. Wow. But it definitely changes. It's, you know, it's difficult because we definitely, you know, we're talking about quality over quantity. In some senses, you know, it really is about giving them that quality, and that for me, I really feel it's the key. But also making sure that you're making for yourself that time to be prospecting, to be doing research, and to be getting creative in that outreach. So numbers are definitely important for anyone who's doing, you know, whether you're an SDR or whether case may be, whoever's doing outreach, definitely make sure that you have a schedule for yourself in order to continuously be making, sending out those emails.
And are you sending follow-ups as well, or is it just this one really hyper-personalized thing? Or
absolutely, yeah. So we essentially, and we're talking about kind of bringing inbound marketing into sales. So in inbound marketing, we have, as we said, kind of the buyer's journey or the customer's journey. So that goes from the top of the funnel of understanding just kind of general awareness to really kind of funneling down to the bottom of someone actually wanting to buy or, you know, in a simple case, you know, just jumping on a call. So I definitely create kind of a sequence of emails that really kind of guides them through that journey. So from me initially creating awareness for them of myself, of what I do, of that I'm willing to help, and every email is going to offer something else that's personal to them, is going to really, everyone's going to have those nuggets in it in order to really begin to nurture them, that it wasn't just like a one and done. And I think, you know, in some cases that really goes back to the bar example. You know, I'm not here for, you know, this isn't a one night stand. I really want to be developing a relationship and nurturing a relationship with these prospects. I really want to get to know them. I've done a lot of research on anyone who I'm reaching out to, and I definitely make that known to them. And the more that I can do that, the more that they understand that I'm really in it for the long haul to really building that relationship.
Shoshi, do you ever pick up the phone, or is this great strictly question. Email? Do you ever like quote unquote cold call?
I do not cold call. That is my number one rule. When we were beginning to build our kind of sales or business development model, myself and the CEOs of the company, it was something we talked about a lot. And at the end of the day, we realized that cold calling, it's just interruptive. Even to say, you know, can I have 2 minutes of your time? So it's not, you know, for some people, I'm sure that's kind of their go-to and that's what they kind of thrive off of. And for myself in 2018, everyone is on their own time. And my goal as part of doing inbound sales is being respectful of your time. So when you're free to read my email and go back and reread my email, that's your prerogative. And I want to put the power into my prospects' hands. I don't want to take that power away from them. So cold calling for myself and for our team is totally kind of out of bounds.
Most important question, your favorite gluten-free treat that you bake is?
Snickerdoodles.
Love that. Shoshi, how can people get that recipe for the Snickerdoodles? And how can they get a hold of you and your company if they want to learn more?
Yes, anyone who wants the Snickerdoodles recipe, it's no big secret. I got it off Lando Lakes. You can just type in Lando Lakes gluten-free cookie recipe. I promise they're divine. I take no jokes on that. For getting in touch with myself, you can definitely, you know, get in touch with me, connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Instagram. I do a lot of storying, if that's of interest to anyone out there. So I'm happy to kind of share my personal journey with you. And that's about it.
Shoshi, you have been fantastic. Thank you so much for jumping on the podcast today.